History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with evangelist Huey Pittman. How are you, mate?
Great.
It's great to have you along. Let's find out a bit of your story. Where were you born and raised?
Born in Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm. And did you have like a religious upbringing?
I went to a Presbyterian school, Knox Grammar School in Sydney. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get born again at a young age, or how did you come to Christ?
Well, I'd left school and I was sort of searching. I got into yoga and different things, sort of searching for the answers to life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a guy in a health food shop in Manly, Sydney,
mm-hmm.
when I was about 17, going on 18. Come off the beach as a surfer. I was into bodybuilding and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him across the counter. And he was a tall guy like me.
Yeah.
And during the course of conversation, he said something very surprising. He said, "Did you know that Jesus Christ is coming again sometime?" I said, I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? Now, that would cut across my ambitions and what I want to do in life.
Yeah.
So we left it at that.
Okay.
Then during the course of the next 6 months, we got to talking a lot, and he led me to Christ and led me into the church. And I made a decision. I sat on a bus bench outside a gym in Brookvale, Sydney, and I saw my life ahead of me, 80, 90 years, if I would live that long. And I decided, well, my ambitions don't really mean much in the end. I'd mm-hmm. rather serve Christ. So I gave my life to Christ on that bus bench outside that gym.
Wow.
18 years of age.
Fantastic. And how did your life change after that?
Changed dramatically. I attended church. I did a lot of different jobs. I must have done a number of jobs, but went to college, studied for the ministry. Then I met a guy at college who was from a large organization, religious organization in America, and he said, well, one day, maybe 10 or 15 years, you could come over here
mm-hmm.
if you proved yourself in Australia. Well, I was a bit impatient. So after I got out of college, I asked my dad for $4,000 that he had in my insurance policy. I bought a trip to America. When I got to America, I bought a car, and I rang this guy up in Washington, D.C., and I said, get me a job. He said, what? Get you a job? That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? I said, 10 or 15 years, maybe. I said, well, look, I've come all the way over here. I need a job. Would you get me a job? 2 weeks later, he rang me. I was staying at a university there in Tacoma Park. He said, look, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a chance. I'll send you down to Alabama, where we've got an evangelist there. He's our leading evangelist for America. You'll be on a team of 10 preachers. And if you do good, we'll keep you here. We'll pay for your visa, everything. If you don't, you're back home, shipped back home to Australia. Well, apparently I did good for 5 weeks and we won a lot of souls.
Yeah.
And they made me a state evangelist in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Which you're supposed to do 5 or 10 years as a pastor first.
Yeah.
From there, the immigration expired my visa because they thought that I wasn't a real preacher and I wasn't ordained at that stage. So my organization sent me up to Canada, where I met the Billy Graham team,
mm-hmm.
and they made me a state evangelist in Ontario, Canada, started running crusades. And since then, I've been all over America and moved down to Orlando, Florida, because I couldn't take the cold up north.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you ever meet Billy Graham?
Yes, I met him.
What was that like?
Very impressive. I met him at the back of the crusade in Tampa, actually.
Yeah.
But I met all the team, Grady Wilson, all the different guys that used to work for him, his whole team. I didn't meet Beverly Shea.
Mm-hmm.
I met Cliff Barris, who's a wonderful guy. He was a tremendous guy.
It's like the baritone singer, is he? Is that right?
Or? No, he was the conductor, the music conductor for Billy Graham.
Yeah, wow. Mate.
And then I met John Wesley White, who was in training us in schools of evangelism. Mm-hmm. They all paid for that at that stage.
Mm.
There's a guy, a rich guy, paid for this school of evangelism that went all over America.
Mm.
which was fantastic.
So some people say that crusade evangelism is old school. It's not relevant anymore.
Right.
And that was for back in Billy Graham's time, but it doesn't work now. What would be your response to that?
Well, it's interesting because they said the same just before Billy Graham got started in 1949.
There you go.
They were saying evangelism is through.
Yeah, right. There you go.
But I look to the Bible and I say, who is the greatest evangelist of history? And it wasn't Billy Graham, it was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amassed huge crowds.
That's right. That's right.
And then the Apostle Paul went from city to city with crowds of people, outdoor evangelism and personal evangelism.
Mm.
And actually, I was talking to Bill Newman about this recently. He pointed out that the Billy Graham organization has more personal evangelism than any organization on earth because they lead people to Christ in a personal way.
Very good.
Mass evangelism is misnamed.
Mm.
It's really single soul evangelism in mass.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think the days of evangelism, whether in church or outdoors or whatever, is ahead of us because Christ is coming and we need to see God really at work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen Will Graham come to Australia several times now.
Yes.
Alice Springs, they saw 800 salvations. Hobart, I think they saw several hundred there.
Yeah.
Kalgoorlie, Broken Hill, and they've seen salvations wherever they go. And this is the thing I love about the Billy Graham Association is that they get local musicians, they get Aussie artists and singers, and they'll might bring an American band with them, like the Afters or someone as well, you know. But they'll get local bands as well. They'll get locals to get up and share their testimony, and they'll relate to. They'll be all things to all men, and that's what we need to do in evangelism, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And the thing is, a lot of people don't want to come to church, and outdoor evangelism is a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm associated with Lewis Palau, with his new generation evangelists, and we had a big meeting down in Newcastle some years ago with about 35,000 people in Newcastle.
Now, let's just park there for a moment because I'm a big fan of Lewis Palau and he's gone on to be with the Lord now.
Yes.
But I watched the movie Palau about his life.
Yeah.
And there's some great scenes in there where he was a South American evangelist and then Billy Graham kind of sponsored him and kind of helped him get started.
Yeah.
It's an amazing legacy, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
And there's like 400 years of evangelism if you go back to John Wesley and so forth and even beyond, you know.
Mm.
Like somebody said to D.L. Moody one time, I believe it was, I don't believe in mass evangelism. I don't believe the way you work. And D.L. Moody said, well, that's fine, but this seems to work really well. And if you can find a better way of doing it, tell me and I'll do it.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the amazing thing about the modern era is that, you know, I watch Billy Graham regularly on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, still.
I see videos of him being posted and shared. They might just be a 60-second clip from his sermon, but it's powerful, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still preaching today, isn't he? He's in heaven, but he's still preaching today through social media.
It's amazing, yeah. I remember the story of Billy Graham with Cliff Barrows and then also with George Beverly Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how he met him?
No.
Well, he heard about that he was on the radio, right? And so he thought, well, I want to get to see him, but nobody would sort of introduce him. So he actually went to the station one day, went to the secretary there at the desk, and he said, look, I'd like to see George Beverly Shea. And the lady at the desk said, well, he's recording right now. He can't see you. So Billy went outside and then prayed, then walked straight in, past the secretary, opened the door where Bev was singing, recording. And that's how he got to meet Bev Shea.
Wow.
And he was with Billy Graham, what, 50, 60 years?
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And, you know, I heard recently a friend of mine, Eric Scatterbo, who's does a radio show called The Story, he interviewed a Salvos guy from Australia who, when Billy Graham preached in Melbourne at the MCG in 59, this guy was planning to assassinate Billy Graham.
Oh, yeah.
He turned up with a gun.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And then this guy ended up, you know, he didn't assassinate him, obviously.
Yeah.
He became a Christian.
Yeah.
And didn't tell anyone about his plot to kill Billy Graham.
Yeah.
And worked as a salvo for many years.
Right.
And then only recently felt permission to tell that story.
Right.
And so my mate Eric got to interview him recently, and he shared the story of everything that happened. And, you know, praise God that he didn't assassinate Billy Graham, but, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. Isn't that amazing?
That's right. Well, I remember when I was at college, what sparked my real interest in evangelism, I used to go out Sunday night on my own with a little crystal radio and listen to The Hour of Decision.
Wow.
And that inspired me.
Yeah, yeah. Let's find out a bit more of your story. So you ended up pastoring in Florida, I understand?
I pastored in Missouri. I pastored in Kansas, and then I ended up pastored in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 9 or 10 years
as
a pastor. But I also used to do crusades at the same time.
Wow. And they love Aussies over in the
US. They do. We had a lot of fun.
did everyone say, throw another shrimp on the barbie, mate?
Oh, all that sort of thing. When I first got there in that first meeting I was in Huntsville, Alabama, they were to introduce me as this Australian evangelist, and we had about 10 on the team, as I said. We had 500 or 600 people in this church, and so the pastor got up and he said, well, we've got Tui Pittman from Alabama. We've got Huey Pittman from Australia. Where's Dewey? And of course, the American audiences love it, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Laugh their heads off.
So good.
Yeah.
You and I met recently at a church just on the south side of Brisbane.
Right.
I was speaking at this this church called New Beath Baptist Church.
That's right.
And you were doing communion that day.
Right.
And okay. I thought, hey, this guy's got a bit of a, you know, bit of a gift, you know. I want to get to know this bloke. And then you came and preached at my soup kitchen, and we connected. But you've got a heart to preach around Australia.
I really have.
Sharing the gospel. Tell us what's your vision for Australia?
Well, I think we need a vision for revival.
Amen.
I mean, look at world events, what's happening. I'm about to preach on the heroes of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Next Sunday, not this Sunday, next Sunday at my church. And Matt's asked me to speak there. And I'm preaching on Noah. And Noah's day was very similar to our day. The wickedness, the corruption, everything that was going on in that day is happening right now.
Mm.
Maybe it was 1,000 times worse then because God destroyed the world by flood.
Mm.
But he's coming soon and he's going to judge the world by fire. So we better get right with God.
Absolutely.
And many of us Christians have become complacent, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Life continues just like it did before the flood.
Mm.
Life continues. People are marrying and giving in marriage. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And Christianity is a lifestyle.
Mm.
It's a wonderful lifestyle until Christ comes. But I think that things are moving very rapidly, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the world events right now, the Bible's very clear, you know. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God.
Right.
You know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. We're seeing all these things. And, you know, and it also says in Matthew 24, the gospel will be preached to all nations and then the end will come.
That's right. Yeah.
So we've got a job to do, mate, don't we?
We sure do. I was just reading in the newspaper this week, over 12,000 young people have been arrested in Queensland this last financial year.
Amazing.
Breaking into houses.
Amazing.
You know, destroying property.
Mm.
And just on the news yesterday, this guy got hit on the head in a jewelry shop. It was robbed here in Brisbane.
Yeah, Chermside, yeah.
And he was in hospital.
Yep.
Had a brain operation.
Mm.
Terrible.
Mm.
Terrible.
There's lawlessness.
Lawlessness. It's happening everywhere.
It is. It is.
But it's only fulfillment of prophecy.
Mm.
Like you say, Luke 21, Luke 17, Matthew 24.
Now, before we wrap up, Huey, you know, there might be people listening that have never heard the gospel.
Right.
And they don't know how to give the heart to the Lord.
Right.
Would you share with us what is the gospel and how do they respond?
Well, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. We're all sinners. We're sinners because of Adam's sin is transferred to us. We're sinners by choice. We've broken the commandments of God, the moral teachings of Christ, and we're headed for judgment without hope unless we accept Jesus into our hearts by faith.
Mm.
What do we have to do? I say ABC. Admit your need and be willing to turn in repentance toward Christ.
Mm.
Then B, believe and receive Jesus into your heart by faith. And finally, confess him and follow. And join a church and get involved and share your gospel to everybody, your workmates or wherever you go.
Mm. That's good news, mate. Well, if people are listening to this or watching this and wanting to respond, We'd love to send you a Bible and some information about following Jesus. Send us an email through the History Makers website, info@historymakersradio.com. Send us an email through the History Makers website, and we're happy to send you some info about following Jesus. And Huey, it's been so good to hear a bit of your story today. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Let me just say, God loves you. He really does. And that's so important today.
Amen. Thank you, mate. God bless.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.